It's not like you're all to fall silent whenever I get up to the front. Normally I have to call you to order. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome, folks. Welcome to worship in Railway Street Church today, the 8th of June. It's a joy to have you all with us. Today is our Youth Sunday service. We have children and young folks taking part. We have gifts to give out to them. And it's a special welcome to Alex Richardson, who's our guest speaker today. Alex is impossibly young-looking, as all our ministry students are these days, or so it seems to me. Alex is up till this morning, you're the student assistant in Sloane Street, but after this evening, you will be the full-time assistant, because congratulations to Alex, who's due to be licensed this evening, having completed his studies at Union Theological College. I want to welcome to all the members of the Dobbin and Baird families who have joined us today as Mark and Judith present their son Casper for baptism. I think there's a coachload of pulled in from the Kingdom of Mourn. Welcome to all those folks who have made their way down from Annalong today.
Good morning, and let me add my welcome to Michael's. Thank you, church family and visitors, for joining us this morning. This morning we have gathered to worship God. We are going to sing to him and to one another. We are going to hear his word read and explained. We are going to pray to him and celebrate the sacrament of baptism. And today is our special opportunity to say thank you to God for the children and young people in our church family and hear something of the work that he has been doing among them this year. But as we begin, listen to these words from John's vision of the new heavens and the new earth from Revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Let's pray. Father, we praise you that right now you are on your throne, and King Jesus is seated at your right hand. You are ruling and reigning over all things, and one day we will get to see that clearly. We praise you that salvation belongs to you. You are the one who saves us through the blood of the Lamb. Thank you that we can look forward to life forever with you because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so, Father, help us to join in with that song that the angels are singing this morning, to give you praise for who you are and what you have done. And as we give you praise today for the children and young people in our church family, please help us to fix our eyes on that day when together, young and old, we will praise you around the throne. Help us to worship you rightly this morning, and please be speaking to us through your word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand and praise God together as we sing God is for us, and then as we use those words from Revelation to sing Christus Victor.
Please be seated. You can sit down as well, folks. You're okay. We don't need you just yet. Thanks to Ben, to Jacob, to Emma, to Abigail, to Rosie, Alan, for leading us in our music today. Boys and girls, if you want to come up so you can see the baptism more clearly, come on up to the front. If you stay over this side, so I have a clear path. So if you want to come up to the front, come on up. If you're up in the gallery, if you want to come down, that's great. But if you can see very well from where you are, you can sit in the chair there, boys. Go on ahead. Go on ahead. Right, come on, Lottie, come on, Phoebe. Right, great, okay. Have a seat in the floor there if there's not room. Juvia, come on over, if you come on down, Juvia, come on down. That's great. Right, Ben, you come on down a wee bit for me. Across a wee bit. I'm just remembering one of the first baptisms I ever did in First Antrim. Many, many years ago, The boys and girls were all gathered up around me, and I was explaining what we were doing when I suddenly realized something was happening, and I looked down. You know what was happening? There was a wee boy, and you know what he was doing? He was tying my shoelaces together. And I was so happy that I noticed that. Not happy that he was doing it. So happy that I noticed that, because otherwise when I went like this to get the baby, whoomp, I was going into the front pew. Wee rascal, still remember that. Right, girls, can you come down? I need you clear here. Come away down over here, if you don't mind, Louise and Katie. Come on, sit over here. That is super, super, super. Right, brilliant. Boys and girls, back on the 23rd of April, something happened in our family. Does anybody know what happened in our family on the 23rd of April? It was just after Easter. It was the Wednesday after Easter. Anybody know what happened in our family? Okay, we're going to have a picture up. It might give you a wee clue. Not that one. Not that one. So, anyway, right. We'll get there. We'll get there. Absolutely. Okay. System's not cooperating. We're going to let David play with... Oh, we've got the big guns moving in. AJ's moving in now. Right. Something very special happened. Our family. I was off that week. We were down in the Kingdom of Mourn. We were down in our cottage outside Kilkeel. And we got some very special news. I've strung this out as long as I can, guys. Like, what? Hey! There's my daughter, Joanna. You recognize Joanna, don't you? You know her from Beginner's Church and GB. And that beside her is her boyfriend, Peter. And they are standing at the lookout point way down above Kilbrony Park, looking out over Carlingford Lock. It was a beautiful day, and they'd left earlier that morning, and Peter was fairly quiet, quieter than normal. He hadn't eaten his breakfast very well. He seemed a bit nervous about something. And then they went away, and they went up to this lookout point, and then they came back to our house later. Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened when they were up there? Okay, let's give you another clue, and that's... Now, can you see anything there? Look at the hand, folks. Look at the hand. Look at the hand. What do you see there? Aaron. Well done, Aaron. They got engaged. Do you see the ring? Can you see the sparkly ring? It sort of blinds you when you look at it directly there. But Joanna has a ring on her finger because while they were up there, Peter asked Joanna to marry him. And she said yes, for reasons passing understanding, but she said yes. So they got engaged, and then they came back to the house to tell us. So here's the rest of us. There's Joanna's mum, Linda, and Emily and Stephen, and myself and Joanna outside our cottage. That's all you're getting to see of the cottage, folks, because you know you're not allowed to know where that house is. And anybody from the Kingdom of Mourn who knows where that is, you're not to say a word to anybody from Railway Street who asks you about it. So they got engaged. What happens now? What happens now? Is that it? They've got engaged, end of story. What happens after somebody gets engaged? What has to come now in the future? What's going to happen, Danielle? They get married, right? There's going to be a wedding. Now, that's the right answer. When I was talking about this in Brianley Primary School a few weeks ago, I said, what happens next? And a boy put up his hand. He says, you become a granddad. Hopefully that's a whole way down the line. But there's a wedding to come. There's a wedding to come next summer. Next summer, there's a wedding to come. Engagement is not marriage. It's a promise. The marriage is still to take place in the future. And that's quite like what we do together today. That helps explain what we do today when we baptize a little child. Because baptism is a sign of a promise. It's a sign of the promise that God has given us. It's a sign of God's salvation promise. It symbolizes and it illustrates what God promises to do for us in Jesus Christ. But baptism is not the promise itself. We're going to be baptizing Casper in just a few moments' time. And by baptizing Casper, we are not saying that Casper is a Christian. That's not what we understand when we baptize an infant. This water does not make Casper a Christian. But what we are saying is that Casper is the child of mother and father who know and who love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saying that he is engaged to be the Lord's. And in baptism, God is reminding us of the promises he has made to us in Jesus Christ to wash our sins away when we put our trust in him as our Savior and Lord. And so baptism is a reminder that this child is very special to God, loved by him, and that all God's promises to love us, to forgive our sins, to give us the gift of eternal life are extended to our children as they are to the rest of us. But Casper, when he is older, when he has reached an age of understanding, must come to God himself and receive those gifts that are promised in baptism by asking Jesus into his life and becoming one of his followers. So baptism is a sign. It's like an engagement. Casper is engaged to be one of God's children, but he'll only become true Christian in his life when he makes that decision for himself. Getting a wee bit restless there, Casper. In accordance with God's purpose revealed in his covenant, the mind and spirit of Christ, and the practice of the church of Christ, the child of Mark and Judith Dobbin is now presented for baptism. It's the duty of those who present their children for holy baptism to make confession of the faith wherein they are to be baptized, to promise to bring their child up in that faith in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, Mark and Judith, could you stand, and could the congregation please stand with them? Mark and Judith, in presenting this child for baptism, are you affirming your belief in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior from sin and as Lord of your life? Depending on the grace of God, are you committed to living as a follower of Jesus Christ, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And are you willing to provide a Christian home and bring up your child in the worship and teaching of the church so that he may come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? To the congregation of Railway Street, to this church family that I know Mark and Judith appreciate so much for your love and your support and your kindness to them. As we receive Casper into the fellowship of our church here, do you promise with God's help to be faithful in prayer, spiritual nurture, Christian example and influence for him and his family? The Lord give us all grace to faithfully keep these promises. Right, sir, come on. Casper Winston Charles, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and dwell in your heart forever. Amen. We sing together the words of the Aaronic blessing. Give Alan just a wee second to get up there. We're going to sing together the words that Aaron was given by God to bless God's people, the children of Israel, back in the Old Testament. The Lord bless you and keep you. Please be seated, folks. We'll let you go back to your seats. Thank you so much. We'll see you later. Okay, young ones. No, not you two. Mom and Dad, come back. Sorry. Please. Not quite done with you yet. Let's join together in prayer for this family. Father God, we give thanks in the knowledge that you're the giver of every good gift. We praise you this morning, especially for the gift of family. We praise you for the blessing of children. We praise you for the interest and the love that you have for our children, for the knowledge that you love them just as much as you love us. We praise you that your promises of salvation, of forgiveness for sins, the gift of eternal life and adoption into your family are extended to our children. We thank you for the sacrament of baptism that reminds us of your promises and your grace and your salvation through the work of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this family here today, for Mark and Judith and Casper. We thank you for the joy that Casper has brought into Mom and Dad's lives and to the lives of their family. We thank you for this happy occasion where they presented Casper to you, declared their faith in the Lord Jesus and their desire that Casper should be brought up in your ways and in the instruction of your word. And we pray that you would bless him as a family in the days that lie ahead. We pray for Casper that your guiding and protecting hand will continue to be upon him day by day, that he would know good health, that he would continue to grow and develop into a strong and healthy child. Thank you that you've given him ears to hear and eyes to see. We pray that he would use his ears to hear and to listen to your word and to your voice from an early age. Pray that his eyes would look and see examples of Christian living in his home and in this church. We pray that his mouth would learn to sing your praises and speak of your ways. Bless his hands and his feet. May he learn to walk in your ways and use his hands to do good. Protect him and keep him from evil influences in this troubled world. And may he always know the joy of growing up in a secure and loving home. Pray for Mom and Dad, for Mark and Judith. Give to them grace and wisdom as they seek to be best parents they can be to Casper. And as they seek to keep the promises they have made before you, to see that he is brought up in the worship and teaching of the church in Jesus Christ. May they order their lives and their home according to your word. That Casper would learn in the home first and foremost what it means to be your follower. May they and we know the joy of seeing Casper come to personal faith in Jesus Christ at an early age. So our Father, bless this family and watch over them in all the days that lie ahead. For this we ask in Jesus' name, and God's people said together, Amen. Amen. Folks, we're going to sing together again at this point. This is a song. It's a beautiful song that Mark and Judith have requested for this occasion. It reminds us, no matter what age we are, from the age of Casper right up to the oldest member of our church family, that we trust in God to watch over and protect us. Jesus said that no one can snatch us out of his hands. And so we join together to sing, He Will Hold Me Fast.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for the precious gift of our young people and children. Thank you for each life, each smile, each question, and each step of growth that reflects your creativity and love. What a joy and blessing they are to our church family. Lord, we ask that you continue to pour out your wisdom and grace upon them. Help them to grow in the knowledge of your word and in the love of Christ. May their hearts be rooted in your truth, and may their faith be strong and lasting. As they walk through new seasons, whether moving schools, beginning new friendships, or stepping into a new section in church, be their constant guide and companion. Surround them with mentors, family, and friends who will speak life and encouragement into their lives. Lord, we celebrate their energy, their gifts, their questions, and their dreams. Help us as a church family to cherish them deeply, to listen patiently, and to support them faithfully. Teach us to be a safe place where they are known, valued, and loved, where they can encounter you and grow into the people you have created them to be. May our church be a home where their hearts are nurtured, where faith is passed on joyfully, and where each child and young person feels the embrace of your love through the care of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
So that was just a little glimpse into the year for our children, and now it's time to hear from our youth, junior youth who meet on Sunday mornings, and senior youth who meet on Sunday evenings have followed mostly the same program throughout this year. And the young people and some of their leaders have made a video to let you know some of their highlights from this past year.
Getting to know everyone and being able to share thoughts with one another on different passages in the Bible.
My favorite thing definitely has been the Mario Kart competition we had.
And games and having good fellowship with the guys in youth church.
Meeting each week and talking about God with friends.
Playing games with everyone.
I've enjoyed getting to play games and just the fellowship with everyone else and being part of the group.
Getting to meet with my friends and discuss God's word together.
Probably playing Worlds and with Stephen always accusing Lydia.
Vox.
I have enjoyed seeing everyone really engage with the Bible and really read and take notice of what it says.
Mine's been the ninja game because we all got really competitive.
So I have enjoyed just being able to dive deep into God's word with everyone else.
I've enjoyed the time set aside to read God's word and spend time with friends.
Mine's the youth group, Vox.
I enjoyed learning about Micah because it's a very interesting book of the Bible to study.
It's a nice way to start the week by spending time with my friends.
I've enjoyed just hanging out with everyone and playing games and getting to know everybody better.
My favourite thing about youth has been the Christianity Explored Vox course that we ran on Friday nights to see the young people and bring their friends along and talk to them about Jesus. It was incredible.
My favourite thing about youth is spending time with young people. Each week, their hunger to learn more about God's word and learning from them while teaching them has been great.
I enjoyed looking through Mark and learning about Jesus as the Son of God and promised King. I've enjoyed going through Micah because it's one that I'd find difficult to go through on my own, so it's nice to do it as a group.
I have enjoyed hearing about Jesus' last week on earth and everything that he did.
I enjoyed learning about the Book of Revelation and the seven letters to the churches.
I enjoyed learning from God's word, especially our study in the Book of Mark, and especially the story about Jairus' daughter and the sick woman, and when God tells Jairus, "Do not be afraid, just believe."
I've enjoyed hearing about God's plan for the future in Revelation.
So this year I thoroughly enjoyed going through the Book of Micah, in particularly chapters 6 and 7, where in 6, you know, God brings judgment upon Israel, but then verse 7 gives us that hope that we really do need to trust in God as our saviour.
Micah, because it's been like, it wouldn't be a book I would go towards.
I really enjoyed Revelation. It's a book I think we tend to avoid. I certainly tend to avoid it because it is quite complex, but taking time to prepare to teach it was really beneficial and I learned a lot from it.
Probably my favourite thing was learning about the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, as I found it very interesting and hadn't thought much about those passages before.
I've enjoyed hearing about Isaiah because of the prophecies about Jesus and the fulfilment of the prophecies in Mark.
Mine's probably learning about what happens at the end times and just what unfolds.
Micah 4, specifically verses 6 and 7, where God talks about gathering the weak and the lame and making them his strong nation and remnant.
I'd say studying Revelation at the start of this year.
I've enjoyed hearing about how God uses ordinary people in the Bible and that you don't have to be perfect to be used by God.
I've really enjoyed studying Micah. And seeing how God perfectly reconciles his mercy and his judgment together. It's been really enjoyable.
I've enjoyed learning about the life of Jesus through the Book of Mark.
I enjoyed reading about the church in Philadelphia in Revelations because of their strength, even though they were persecuted heavily.
We did a brief study on evangelism and just discovering how to share God's word better with my friends.
I was so encouraged hearing from the young people of what God had been teaching them throughout this year, and I hope you were too. And in looking ahead to our youth program for the next year, I'm excited to let you know that in the autumn term, we have planned our youth weekend away to Mullerton House from the 26th to the 28th of September. Young people, please get those dates in your diary, and registration for that will open this week. So if in the next academic year, you're in years 8 to 14, we would love to have you come join us for that. We're going to sing together again before we have God's Word read by Isaac, and then Alex is going to come and speak to us. Let's sing.
Today's reading comes from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 27 and 43 to 44. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go."
Isaac, thank you so much for reading that passage. Good morning. My name is Alex Richardson, as has already been said. I'm the assistant minister at Sloan Street Presbyterian Church. I've been finishing up my studies at Union. And I want to say a massive thank you to Hannah, to Michael, and the session for asking me to come and speak at your children's and youth service this morning. Boys and girls, do you want to come up to the front as we take a few moments to think about that passage that was just read for us? Come on up to the front, and you can come to sit in the front row here. Hopefully there's enough room. Great. Boys and girls, I want to ask you a question as we begin to think about... Yeah, come on up. Super, take a seat. Hopefully there's enough room. I want to ask you a question as we begin to think about the passage that Isaac read for us, as we think about who Jesus is. I want to ask you this question. Hands up if you would like to live forever. Hands up who would like to live forever. Mums and dads, adults, older people, hands up if you would like to live forever. Yes, some of us would like to live forever. I think most of us deep down would love to live forever. And that's not just a desire, a dream that we want to come true in this room. The reality is every single human being in the world would love to live forever. Hands up if you've heard of Elon Musk. Yeah? One of the most powerful and influential men in the world right now. Elon Musk is interested in something called cryonics. You ever heard of cryonics? Yeah, it's freezing a body and a brain after a person has died, and the hope that in the future, medical science will be so advanced that they might be able to bring someone back to life. Elon Musk's interest in cryonics reveals humanity's desire to live forever. Humanity wants to live forever. The wonderful news about Christianity is that there is actually a way for you and I to live forever. Jesus says, if we get the PowerPoint up, Jesus says in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus says, the Bible says, Christianity says, there is a way for you and I to live forever. That deep desire, that dream to live forever, it can actually come true. The question is, how? How can we live forever? Well, that's what we're going to think about this morning. If we go on to the next slide, hands up if you're familiar with this phrase. Has anyone come across this phrase before? Can you tell me what it is? Sorry, what's your name? Ben, what is that phrase? Can't remember. It's okay. The goat. Brilliant. The goat. And what does the goat mean? Yeah? The greatest of all time. Well, there's a debate that's been going on in the football world about who is the greatest of all time. If we want to move on to the next slide, hands up if you know who these two footballers are. Yeah? Do you know who these footballers are? You tell me. Messi and Ronaldo, brilliant. And a debate has been going on about who is the greatest footballer of all time, whether it's Messi or Ronaldo. But in December 2022, an event took place, and people believe that confirmed that Messi was the greatest footballer of all time. Can anyone tell me what that event was? Yeah. The FIFA World Cup. Messi with Argentina won the FIFA World Cup, and so they said that Messi is the greatest footballer of all time. Go on to the next slide. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection. That is, he came into this world, he lived a perfect life, he went to the cross, he died for your sin and my sin. He was then buried, but he did not stay dead. He was raised from death to life. He is the resurrection and he is the life. He overcome death, and he now lives forever. Jesus is the life. Ronaldo may have scored lots and lots of goals. Messi may have won the World Cup, but neither of them are the resurrection and the life. Neither of them have overcome death and live forever. But Jesus has. He is the resurrection and the life. And because he is the resurrection and the life, Jesus is, the next slide, the greatest of all time. Now, how can we live forever? Well, if we go on to the next slide, Jesus says, the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The way to life forever, the way to overcoming death and living forever, is by believing in Jesus Christ. When you believe in him, the greatest of all time, the resurrection and the life, the one who has overcome death and lives forever, when you believe in him, when you trust him, when you follow him, you can have life forever. That dream that you have of living forever, that deep desire that's in every single one of us, it can actually come true. How can we live forever when we believe in Jesus? What does Jesus do when we believe in him? Well, if we go on to the next slide, I might need the adults for this question, but I'll ask the boys and girls first. Do any of you know who these two men are? This is a pretty tricky one, I think. Do any of the older people know who these two men are? Rob Burrows and Kevin Seinfeld, brilliant. Rob Burrows was a brilliant rugby player, passed away last year, but he's a brilliant rugby player. And Rob Burrows, he had a really bad physical illness where he couldn't walk and he couldn't run anymore. But he wanted to participate in a marathon. Do you know what a marathon is? It's a really long run, okay? He wanted to participate in a marathon, but he couldn't walk, he couldn't run the marathon. And so his best friend, Kevin Seinfeld, said, I will run the marathon with you. I will pick you up, I will put you in a chair, and I will carry you through the marathon. I'll be with you the whole way and I'll carry you through right to the end. And the picture we have on the screen before us shows us that Kevin Seinfeld, he has his friend Rob and he carries him the whole way through the marathon to the very end. When we believe in Jesus, what Jesus does is he joins us in the race of life. He's with us in the good times, in the bad times, the really terrible times of life. And when we come to the end of our life, when we face the final hurdle, the hurdle of death, the thing that could separate us and prevent us from living forever. What Jesus does at the hurdle of death is this. He picks us up and he carries us through death so that we overcome it and live forever. Jesus, he takes us through that final hurdle that is death. So the question I have for you this morning is this. It's the question that Jesus asks in John 11. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the greatest of all time? He's greater than Messi. He's greater than Ronaldo. Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? That he has overcome death and he lives forever? And do you believe that one day he will pick you up and he will carry you through the final hurdle that is death? If you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, know this, that deep desire that is within every single one of us, that dream to live forever, it will be fulfilled. Perhaps you're here this morning, you're not sure whether you believe in Jesus or not. Well, why not do that this morning? Trust him, follow him. If you don't know what that looks like or means, we would love to chat with you after this service. Not just boys and girls, but adults as well. Jesus, he's the greatest of all time. He's the resurrection and the life. He has overcome death. He lives forever. And he can not only forgive you for your sin, but he can enable you to live forever. You've listened so well. Let's pray and ask for God's help to understand this. Father in heaven, it is really wonderful to hear of all of the great work that is going on in this church and amongst the boys and girls and the teenagers in particular. Father, for what we've thought about this morning from your word, the words of Jesus, that he is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that has overcome death and lives forever. He is the greatest of all time. He is the one who can pick us up and carry us through the final hurdle of life, that is death. I pray that each boy and girl here would know Jesus. They would know him. They would know these wonderful truths about him. And they would seek to live their life for him. And in that knowledge, that he is the one who will be with them in all of life. Take this message, plant it deep in their hearts and minds, and may it shape how they live every single day of their life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm now going to pass over to Hannah.
I just wanted to say a massive thank you to everyone who serves in our youth and children's ministries on Sunday morning and evening. Thank you so much for all that you do to pass on the gospel to the next generation. Thank you for how you prepare and deliver the Bible lesson in a way that creatively points our children to Jesus. Thank you so much too for those who serve in GB and BB throughout the year as well. If I'm going to add another shameless plug to Nikki's, if anyone would like to serve in youth and children's ministry in the next year, please do speak to me. And in the incoming year, there's a really specific need in the junior section of Boys Brigade, which meet on Tuesday evenings. If you would like more information about that, please do speak to me. Well, to finish this morning, we are going to stand and praise God again. We are going to stand and sing Mighty to Save. And children, you can go back to your seats.
My thanks to everybody who's taken part today, and for Hannah for putting our service together, for Alex in speaking. Folks, our refreshments after the service, you go through this door out into our link area. When that fills up, you can spill into the minor hall. Mark and Judith, as just a small thank you and a way of showing their appreciation to their church family, who have appreciated so much your kindness, your generosity, your love. They provided donuts for you folks. So if you want to get a donut, get out there fast. Those of you who normally hang around here for a long time, you want a donut, get out there to get one. So thank you very much for doing that. Tea and coffee and biscuits available out there as well. Boys and girls, you're not always in with us at the very end of church. Normally you're out at beginners or kids church, but at the end of our service nearly every Sunday, there's something we say together. It's a wee bit like the Lord's Prayer. It's words from the Bible, words that Paul, the apostle of Jesus, wrote to the Christians in the city of Corinth. And this is what we said together. I'm going to say it to you and invite you to say it with us and all of us to say it together. It's where we pray for God's blessing on us. It says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. We say evermore, amen. So let's say that together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.